Slăvit să fie Dumnezeu, Tatăl, Fiul și Duhul Sfânt. Amin. Haideți cu toții să deschidem Sfânta Scriptură la 1 Timotei, capitolul 5, versetul 8. 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith, and is worse than an unbeliever. Dacă nu poartă cineva grijă de ei lui, și mai ales de cei din casa lui, s-a lepădat de credință și este mai rău decât un necredincios. Citind și absorbind acest verset, realizez nu numai datoria și responsabilitatea pe care o avem fiecare de a ne cârmui familiile în dreptate, sfințenie și curăție, dar și consecințele care vin în urma vegherii sau a nevegherii pe care o avem sau nu asupra lor. Family is an institution. It's the great basic unit built by a marriage between a man and a woman blessed by the Lord in front of the altar. În Geneza 5:2, Dumnezeu spune că i-a făcut parte bărbătească și parte femeiască. I-a binecuvântat și le-a dat nume de om în ziua în care au fost făcuți. When Adam was dismissed, when Adam was exiled from Eden, there were three things that he took with him: Sabbath, marriage, and work. And those three things were always supposed to remind him about the Eden that was lost and always help him to look forward to the Eden that's going to come. Of course, Satan always tried to attack those things because he always tried to attack the things that he lost or the things that he never had. And by attacking the Sabbath, he's attacking the relationship that we have with God on the vertical, our straight relationship with him. By attacking the marriage, he's attacking the relationship that we have with God on the horizontal, the family. De aceea spune Pavel în Efeseni 6:12, căci noi nu avem de luptat împotriva cărnii și a sângelui, ci împotriva căpetenilor, a domnilor, a stăpânitorilor întunericului acestui veac și a duhurilor răutății care sunt în locurile cerești. And tonight I'm going to come before you for the English sermon with a message called Attack to the Family, or Attack to Family, atac la familie sau atentat la familie, dacă vreți. And I'm going to be talking tonight about two attacks that are more obvious and visible in 2013 in our society, in our families, and in our lives. Demonic attacks from the devil. And the first attack that I'm going to be talking tonight, it's homosexuality. You see, let's pretend that you would have a house. You have your home. And in your house, you obviously have a kitchen. And in front of the kitchen, it's a little door, right? Or a little window. And from that little window that is there on your countertop, right, in front of your sink, you would be able to see in your neighbor's backyard. And let's just say that one day the neighbor's kid is going to come, throw with a rock, and break your window. You're probably not going to like it, but you will say, well, it's just a window. I mean, I get along well with my neighbors. He's just a kid, you know. I'm just going to show that I'm a good Christian. I'm not going to make a big deal. I'm not going to say anything. But if he's going to do it the second time, probably you're going to go and talk to the parents, talk to the neighbors. If this is going to persist and the kid is going to do it the third, fourth time, you're probably going to go and take action. And my question, brothers and sisters, is how can we take action so easy when it's about our material needs, but when it's about our spiritual needs, a lot of times we stay with our hands in our pocket expecting someone else to do something about them. 83% of the people believe today that unmarried couples can form a family. In 2013, year that we are right now, 64% of the people believe that gay couples can form a family. In 2003, there were just 50% of them. They grew 10% in 10 years. And my question is, what's going to happen in 30, 35 years from now on? You see, Paul Bryan, a sociology professor at the University of Indiana, would say, quote, "We are moving away from traditional definition of family to a modern definition that is a greater way of living. Combination of people as families." Și eu tot ce aș putea spune acestui sociolog ar fi un singur lucru, Proverbe 12:23. Omul înțelept își ascunde știința, însă inima nebunilor vorbește nebunia. You see, I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to say right now. A lot of times we like to live in a bubble. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. We like to come to church, all of us here. I'm sure we are, because this is why we are here tonight. And it's amazing. You feel the presence of the Lord. You see your brothers, you see your sisters, your parents, your the people that you love. You see the Holy Spirit. You feel the presence of God, and it's amazing, and we love it. When we come Sunday morning, Sunday night, if we can't Tuesday or Thursday, I don't know what practices, Monday and Wednesdays, and a lot of times we kind of want to ignore what's outside, totally. We don't want to go online that much, especially probably older people, and I don't want to pick on anyone, but we don't want to read the newspapers that much. We don't know exactly what's happening in the world. We know there's a lot of sins, a lot of ugliness outside, and we want to ignore it completely. By doing that, brothers and sisters, we might make a mistake. Why? We might not be exposed to the danger of the world that much, but your kids are. Most of their time, they spend it outside in the world, and at school or working, and even when they're home, most of their time, they're, playing games, staying online, watching TV, and they're by ignoring this aspect, you might ignore the danger and the problems that your kids might be exposed to. You see, sodomy or homosexuality, it's one of the oldest sins in the Bible, in the history, and it's the sin that the devil comes up today and show himself on the scene of the world, trying to destroy families, trying to break hearts, and trying to burn souls. The promoters are all kind of people. Presidents, politicians, singers, normal people, science people, actors, and even athletes today. Muslims are against homosexuality. The Christians are not. Sweden, a country with 75% of the people Lutherans, Christians, it's one of the first European Christian countries that embraced homosexuality and homosexuals. It's actually the first European Christian country that I've heard about a Romanian pastor that spoke against homosexuals in the church in front of the pulpit, and he did 1 year in jail. He came back from the jail, he spoke again against them, they recorded him, and they threw him back in jail. In the year 1054, there was the big schism at Constantinople that divided the Christian church in two, the Catholics at Rome and the Orthodox at Byzantium. And now, brothers and sisters, after almost 1,000 years since the big schism, we are, me and you, in front of a big betrayal of accepting this miserable, disgusting, and awful practice in our society, in our families, in our churches, and in our lives. And you might say, don't talk about these things, but it's going to take your kids. I'm not going to talk about these things, but it's going to take your grandkids, it's going to take my future kids, and it's going to take this youth. Don't talk about these things. We're sensitive and we don't like it. But what do you want me to talk about? This Bible has 66 books. If we're going to start cutting from it, then one day we're not going to have anything to preach from. Because everything is going to be preached and over-preached. There is already pastors, people, and churches out there, brothers and sisters, that cut out the Old Testament out from their services. And even parts of the New Testament. And my question is, where are we heading on? You see, there were two forms of damaging the family in the history. The first way of damaging the family in the history was in the first part of the history by exaggerating the differences between a man and a woman, which was the superiority of a man and the inferiority of a woman, which led into another awful sin called polygamy, when a man would buy more women. I'm saying buying, not having. You have one. You buy as many as your pocket affords, like in the Middle East. The second way of and form of damaging the family in the history was started after the First World War, and it's very visible and very obvious today in the days that we live, which was now the opposite of exaggerating the differences between a man and a woman, which was the alikes. Man, woman, it doesn't matter. The little boy, he's 6 years old. He goes to school, and they say, you're a girl. What do you mean I'm a girl? I'm a boy. But no, you're a girl. What? Because you're a boy. Dar știu că foarte bine că-s băiat. Nu, tu ești fată, tu poți să fii fată. What do you mean? You can be. Tu aici, tu în viață, tu în viitor, tu o să-ți găsești identitatea. Frați și surori, de la mic la mare, de la un an până la 100, femei și bărbați, frați și surori, noi identitatea nu ne-o găsim decât în Hristos. Amin? Amin. Freud would say, quote, a man has a lot of instincts. And one of the most powerful instincts that a man has is the sexual instinct. And the man is the slave of his own sexual instinct, unquote. This is what your kids learn at school. I was shocked when I talked to one of my friends that just graduated from a high school here in Anaheim, and he would tell me how girls from his high school, not only that they're not ashamed of getting pregnant when they're 16 years old, but now they're actually bragging about it. Why? Because of the show 16 and Pregnant that is on a national television. Here in United States, country that we live right now, a country where presidents used to pray, where presidents used to put God, where presidents and congressmen used to put the prayer on the top of their list in their days, now we're talking about cutting out that sentence in God we trust out from the dollar bill. And maybe they should. Maybe they should, because for a lot of them, it's a lie anyway. Brothers and sisters, if we still are where we are today, it's just because of God's grace and God's mercy that He still has for us. And because He still has some people out there and here that are still keeping the faith straight up, pure, clean, and right, in a righteous way. In Holland in 2006, it was officiated the first marriage in three, where a man would marry two women. In Australia, there's a person that has a neutral gender. He's not a man, he's not a woman. He's neutral, officially. You know, we're globalized, brothers and sisters, doesn't mean only, because we find and we talk about this word a lot of times, globalized doesn't mean only the same pair of pants, the same hair, the same dress, the same currency, and the same lifestyle. Globalized means the same marriage and the same religion. You know, a lot of times we're talking about 666. We're talking about the future. We're talking about the apocalyptic times and what's going to be and what's going to happen. And oh, I don't want to be there. But you know, I was thinking about this. And I got to the conclusion that it's not really about a 666 in a way. And what do I mean by that? It's not about a number. You see, a lot of times we think about this. But in the end, who would want to have a number? Let's be honest with each other. Who would want to have a number on his forehead or on his arm and be controlled and do a check-in and check-out like in the airport 10 times a day? The question is not if I want to have a number on me or on my forehead. The question is if I still want to live in this world conducted and led by homosexuals and homosexuality. Because everything is going to be theirs. They already own everything. All the buildings, all the jobs, all the farmer markets, all the buildings, everything is going to be theirs. The question, my brother and my sister, is if you still want to live in this world, conducted and led it by them. You see, maybe you're going to look at me and you will say, well, I'm 30, 40 years old, or I don't know, 50, 60. I've been a Christian for so long, and I don't believe in this. Homosexuality, yeah, you talk about it. I see a lot of people going crazy like that, but this is not going to affect me. I'm never going to be a homosexual. I hate this sin. I hate sodomy. Well, it's not going to affect me. Maybe it's not going to affect you. Maybe you're right. But did you ever think about your kids? That kid that is 6, 7 years old, you know, he goes to school. He doesn't have the experience of a life that you have. He's fragile. He's innocent. He doesn't know what's good and what's bad. And if we're not going to prepare those kids in our family's home, here at Sunday school, a church here, those 2, 3, 4, 5 hours that we spend, then this world is going to take him, brothers and sisters. Because who knows how to lie, how to trick, and how to fool better than the devil? No one knows that. No one knows how to do that. You try to make an application for a job, for example, these days. It's no more your parents. The devil tries a lot to cut it out from the system. It's now parent one, parent two. No more mother and father. The devil hates the word marriage and hates the word husband and wife. He doesn't want to hear about that. Now it's not husband and wife. Now it's spouse. It can be your husband, it can be your wife, or it can be your pet. You don't know. It can be anything. You know, the devil wants to destroy the family, and the devil wants to destroy these forms. You know, I was thinking a lot of times, and this is something that I have in my mind, and this is something that I have in my heart. One of the worst things that happened in the history, and more likely the last few years, is not only that they got to have those gay marriages, but now they got to adopt kids too. In other words, brothers and sisters, it's not that you want to destroy your life, but you want to destroy someone else's life too that is innocent. Some little baby, some little kid, they want to destroy that. They want to destroy that. They don't want to have this in the system. Mother and father, the parent that you have, the parent that I have, they want to cut it out. They don't want to have it here. And we cry and we think about it and we say, God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen with our families? What's going to happen here with us? You see, they knew very well that the strongest emotion that a person has, it's the mother's feeling, mother's emotion. That emotion that builds there inside of his mom, where that baby is before he's born in those 9 months. This is the strongest emotional physical that a person has, and Satan wants to destroy that. Satan wants to cut that out. I don't know how many of you guys have ever been in an orphanage. I've been quite a few times. One of my uncles in Romania, he would work with orphanages for 10, 15 years, and he took me a lot of times. And I remember seeing those kids there that are just thrown there when they're little babies, maybe, you know, beaten and abused by the others, beaten and abused by the elders, by the staff, by everyone else. They grow there without a love, without a parent, without a mother, without a father. They don't know what that is. At 18 years old, they just throw them on the street. They grow without any kind of love. And I'm looking at you guys, the young generation and the youth right now. I don't know, maybe your mom, most of you guys were born here. Maybe your mom came to drop you at school when you were, I don't know, 14 years old, 12 years old. And maybe you said and you thought in your mind, even if you probably didn't say it with your lips, but you said, oh, I hope she's not going to say anything. I hope she's not going to open her mouth. Because once she's going to open her mouth, everyone's going to notice her heavy English accent and know I'm an immigrant or who knows, make fun of me or think that I'm not that cool. Yeah, maybe she has a heavy accent, yeah. Maybe she's not that cool. I don't know. Maybe she would drop you at school, and maybe by the time she would pick you up, she would do another job because she tried to make it happen for you. She had another job or two, both of them, your mom and your dad. They put their life on hold so you can have a future, so you can have something better than they have. And maybe they put it on standby forever. And listen to me, even if when you'll be 30 years old and you'll have one or two bachelor degrees and your mom is gonna be that old lady, 60 years old, that is gonna raise up the voice you're gonna zip up your mouth and you're gonna listen to her. Why? Because you're gonna have that emotion and that respect. It's your mother. If someone would say something about my mother, it hurts me, it's my mother. But they're not gonna be hurt. They don't care. They grow without a mother. If someone would say something about my God, it hurts me, it's my God. It's the one that created me. It's the one that kept me in his palm. It's the one that sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. It's the one that gives me hope. It's the one that gives me a reason to live. It's the one that gives me love. It's the one that gives me peace. It's the one that gives me love. But they're going to make fun of me and they're going to laugh at you. Because homosexuality, this crazy practice, this is what feeds their craziness, their foolishness, and their misery. Two, the second attack on the family, today, in 2013, media. And one of the most dangerous forms of media, it's pornography. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of Father is not in him. You see, brothers and sisters, media and internet and television are trying to portray a different alternative lifestyle, trying to promote it in a good, positive way. As, it's okay. Just do it. Just have fun. Everyone does it. It's not okay. It's not just about having fun. And guess what? Not everyone does it. Media and television are trying to portray pornography, which is a multi-billion dollar industry and one of the main causes for a 50% rate divorce between Christians or people that are calling themselves Christians today. You see, pornography as a definition is a stimulation and aggravation of the sexual visual instinct. And almost every commercial on the television today has some sort of a sexual tendency. It's pretty much a bad thought that becomes an obsession. An obsession that becomes a fact, and a fact that is going to have some consequences after. You see, 98% of the rapists in the United States are addicted to pornography. 46% of the inmates in jails in the United States are addicted to pornography. And tragically, brothers and sisters, men and women of God, old and young, they got hooked on this drug called pornography, which destroys the relationship with God, with your family, with your friends, and has a demonic influence that gets people into anger, into depression, and even into suicide. It all started with newspapers. It went into erotic lines. Then it went into television, internet. And now it's on the cell phones. And how scary it's even to mention something like that. Thinking about a lot of parents and a lot of people, maybe even here in our church, they might have gave their son or their daughter maybe a cell phone as a gift, good intended, with a goodwill, when they just turned 6, 7 years old, without even thinking or knowing the consequences that they might bring after. Știți, e o vorbă în România care spune că iarba vecinului e întotdeauna mai bună ca iarba ta. Fals. Fals. Iarba vecinului nu e cea mai bună, frați și surori. Iarba cea mai bună e iarba ta. iarba pe care o uzi cel mai bine și iarba pe care o crești cel mai bine. Nu nevasta altuia și nu bărbatul altuia. Bucură-te de nevasta tinereții tale. The one that you have. The one that God gave you. The one that was there with you in your pain. The one that was there with you in your troubles. The one that was there with you in your happiness. The one that you made a commitment to stay to and be with for the rest of your life. And you made a commitment in front of the angels, and I made a commitment in front of the angels, in front of the people, and in front of our Lord. The best you have is the one you invest the most. This is the best we have, brothers and sisters. Not the neighbors, not your friends, not the other ones, not your brothers and your sisters, but the one you invest the most. This is the best you deserve and what God gave you. You see, people got hooked on pornography when they were 13, 14, 15 years old, and they now got to 30, 40 years old, and not only did they destroy their lives, but they destroy some other people's lives too. They end up destroying their parents' life, their husbands and wives, their parents, their kids, other people's life, maybe even friends. The solution to fight and get out of pornography is to understand that you fight for a higher fight. You fight for a higher goal. You fight for a higher pleasure that it's so much more important than the pleasure of a moment that the sin can give you. The solution is not, brothers and sisters, just to keep it there in your room. Keep it there in a corner of your room, in a corner of your heart, and say, I'm not going to touch it, I'm not going to look at it. Guess what? One day you will. One day you will touch it, one day you will look at it. Don't try to play with the fire, because you will get burned. The solution to fight media, the solution to fight pornography, it's for your heart to be so much bigger that this temptation is going to look like the biggest suicidal act that can end up your life. Again, your heart needs to be so much bigger that this temptation is going to look like the biggest suicidal act that's going to end up your life. You see, brothers and sisters, this is what we fight with today. Homosexuality, lesbianism, media, pornography. For a lot of Christians, those kind of subjects are taboo, and I don't understand why. Those are real. This is what we fight with. Maybe you have something in your heart tonight. And I'm not trying to provoke anyone or anything. But maybe you came to church and maybe you keep this addiction inside of you. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's another addiction. I don't know. And maybe a lot of times you came to church and you said, you're always praising and you're always like just saying those blessings that you want to say. And you're afraid kind of to repent from some sins. You just say some sins that are kind of general that, you know, everyone does it. So if the one next to me is going to like hear what I'm going to say, then it's not going to be a big deal. But maybe you keep something in your heart that your husband doesn't know, your wife doesn't know, your parents don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's something that you keep there for a year, two, five, 10, 20. But believe me, God wants to heal you today. God wants to see you today and to see you clean. God wants for you to come in front of Him. Come with your pain. Come with your struggle. Come with your misery. Come with your deception. Come with your addiction, because He wants to make you free. He wants to take this bag of trash and throw it away, so you're never going to have it again in your life. So you're never going to have it again in your family. I want to ask you something tonight. What do you think gave Jesus more satisfaction? I was thinking about this week. When He made a healing, when someone came to Him and said, Jesus, I have leprosy. Jesus, I have leprosy. No one can help me. Do something. And Jesus would say, you're clean. When someone would come to Him and say, I'm blind, I can't see, please help me, Jesus. And Jesus would put His hands on His eyes and He would see. When Yair came and trying to bring Jesus to pray for his daughter that's going to die, and she died, and Jesus would bring her and bring other people also from physical death to life. Or when Jesus would see someone like Zacchaeus coming and saying, you know what, with tears in my eyes, I'm giving everything to the one I stole from, and I'm going to give away more. I don't care about my life. I don't care about what I did. I'm ashamed of what I did, Jesus, but I bring it here. I don't want to see it again. I don't want to do it again. I want to be with you, Jesus Christ. I want to follow you. I want to change my life. I want my family's life to be changed. And I want you to answer with another question that I'll ask. What gives you more satisfaction? When you hand out the keys of a brand new car to your kids when they turn 18 or they just graduate high school or college? Or when you know that him or she, they're not going clubbing. They're not going and having sex with I don't know who. They're not coming home at 4 o'clock in the morning. They respect you, they love you, they love God. They pray, they have a relationship with God. They sing in the choir, they come with you at church. They have a heart burning for Christ. What gives you more satisfaction? Of course it's going to give you more satisfaction. The same thing with Jesus, brothers and sisters. God wants to heal us. God wants, we're talking about revival so many times, and like I said even last time, every time we just say the name revival, we get so all excited. God wants revival. God doesn't want only 200 people baptized with the Holy Spirit. God wants the Holy Spirit, thousands and thousands of people. God wants all of you guys here, your kids, your grandkids, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want only 6 people. We saw the way God works. Not only 6 people to be with cancer, but the whole church and people from out there to come and say the way God works in their life. This is what God wants to make in our lives. But in order for that to happen, we need to be free of sin, brothers and sisters. We need to be free of sins. No sin. But Jesus. To be able to come like David. Să vii ca David și să-i spui, Doamne, spală-mă, curăță-mă. Doamne, curăță-mă cu isop, spală-mă și voi fi mai curat ca zăpada. Că știu că isopul ăla, chiar dacă mă doare, chiar dacă lase urme, chiar dacă îmi smirgă și mă doare și de multe ori iasă sânge, e sângele lui Iisus Hristos, frați și surori, care ne spală și ne iartă de orice vină și de orice păcat, slăvit să fie numele Lui. Să poți să spui și tu ca Iosua. Nu știu altul ce face, facă fiecare ce o vrea, nu că nu m-ar interesa, că mă doare și ar trebui să ne doară pe toți. Dar fiecare alege pentru el. Dar că despre mine, eu și casa mea vom sluji Domnului. Că despre tine să poți să spui în această seară, eu și familia mea vom sluji Domnului. Că despre noi, Emanuel, noi această biserică, noi acest unit, noi acest trup al lui Hristos, noi această familie, noi vom sluji Domnului. Putem să spunem asta în această seară? Slăvit să fie Domnul. This is the way you're going to overcome the attacks from the devil. Să poți să-l calci în picioare. Vrei să fii, you want to be a better husband tonight? You want to be a better wife tonight? You want to be a better mother and a better father tonight? You want to be a better daughter and a better son tonight? A better brother, sister, uncle, grandfather? Do you want to be that tonight? God wants to make that change in you and in your family tonight. God wants to pour out the Holy Spirit tonight. God wants to make miracles tonight. Are you ready for that? Hallelujah. This is the way we overcome the attacks from the devil. Stepping on the devil. Stepping on the head of the snake. And God's going to make miracles in your life. God's going to make miracles in my life. God's going to transform us. God's going to make us a real family. Because he has everything prepared for us out there. Are you ready? May God bless you.